make it as easy as possible for the journalist as you can, because they're busy. They're trying to get stories out the door. They don't want to have to do a lot of research. The easier you can make it for that podcaster, just like you would do for a journalist to interview you, the more likely they are to have you on their show.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
And we're back with another episode of POP, the podcast on podcasting. And my friend Andrew is with us today. He actually runs a company that helps you to be able to be a guest on other podcasts. And that's one of the quickest, easiest ways for you to be able to grow your brand. And so I wanted to have him as an expert to share some strategies, tips, tricks, and thoughts on how you can be able to grow your influence by not just having your own podcast, but also by guesting on other people's podcasts. And it's really just like putting fuel to the flame. And so this is Andrew Alleman. Andrew, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Adam. It's great to be here chatting with you.
And let's hit some trivia, totally useless trivia first. I bought my domain from you, which
you
is
did.
So cool. So you growyourshow.com, you've probably thought to yourself, wow, it's so awesome that Adam got that URL. I don't know how he got it. Well, Andrew Alleman parked it, and I was lucky enough to make an offer, and we ended up coming to a deal. So I'm stoked.
We did. How's that domain working out for you?
I love it. I love it so much. It's clear, concise, growyourshow.com. And before, we had a website called like mypodcast.website. And even if you just type it in, you know how some websites, Andrew, like you'll type in the website and it will automatically turn into something that's clickable.
Right.
Well, growyourshow.com does that, but mypodcast.website never did that because it wasn't a .com. So you actually had to put like the https://, and all that. So I'm stoked. It's easy to remember. It rhymes and it says exactly what we do. We help you increase your influence. And Andrew, you're going to share with us one of the ways that we can increase our influence. Your platform, if I understand it correctly, you've got about 30,000 subscribers, users on podcastguests.com. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
So there's a couple of things that you can do on the website. You can find guests or you can be a guest. Is that accurate as well? Or
yeah, that's right. So most people, when they sign up, they just sign up for our free service at podcastguests.com. And what that does is it gets you on this email list, and it's kind of modeled off of this service called Help a Reporter Out that a lot of people use. So let's say the Wall Street Journal is trying to find someone who, let's use something topical, they got the COVID vaccine and something happened, right? Well, that's not an easy thing to find people that have that. Maybe they were happy they were able to travel. Who did you travel to see first after getting your vaccine? Well, they'll put out a call on this Help a Reporter Out and say, I'm looking for people that have this situation. They had their kids born before COVID. Their grandparents couldn't see it. Now they get to see them. And a lot of people respond and say, hey, yeah, I'm a fit for that. So it's modeled off of that. And so I send out an email once or twice a week that is a list of podcasts that are looking for guests. So you can pitch to those if you want to be a guest on those shows, as well as some experts that want to be a guest on your show. And so a lot of matchmaking happens through that email. And there's more going on behind the scenes, but that's kind of the entry point for most of these 30,000 plus users that use the service.
I know we're going to focus most of today just on the value that we can create by being a guest on other people's show. But what's interesting with your service is you can also find guests for your podcast. Right. And I know that I've worked with a lot of different podcasters, either helping them launch from ground zero and or joining their team after and just supporting to kind of grow the show and offload some of that stuff. And one of the big things that a lot of them have talked about is they're always afraid, like, how do I get guests? This is actually taking me too long because I can't find a good guest and this is too stressful. And they quit. They get pod fade literally just because it's hard for them to find a guest. So I want to start by just helping you promote yourself, what you do, and just tell us like how that person who's afraid to find a guest could use your service, either the free version, the basic version, or the premium,
right,
to actually get more guests for their show.
Right. Well, the service is completely free for podcasters across the board. You don't have to pay anything. And it's, you mentioned this issue of finding guests for your podcast, and that's why I created the service. So I've been podcasting for 7 years now, about, and maybe it was six. So I started podcastguest.com 5 years ago. And the reason I started is I had interviewed people. I've been up to about 50 episodes on my show, and I kind of tapped my Rolodex for interesting guests. And I wanted to find new and interesting people to be on the show. And so I looked out there for services that could help me or ways to find guests more easily. And there's some agencies out there. They do a great job connecting people with guests for their show, but they're very expensive. I was looking for something more like Help a Reporter Out that you could use for free. And so that's when I started the service. And the nice thing here is, as a podcaster, we can feature your podcast in one of our newsletters, one of our emails, and say exactly what you're looking for in guests, what your topic is, what their experience should be. And then they will pitch to you. So there's no rejection here. People will pitch to you and you actually reject some of them. Depending on your topic, we get sometimes over 100 pitches for a podcast. It really depends on the topic. And sometimes, even if it's a really esoteric or niche podcast, I'm amazed at what we're able to find. You might be looking for B-movie stars from the 80s, and there are people that are like, oh yeah, I was on Baywatch as an extra, or something like that, and they'll pitch to your show. And then we also have this directory that has over 600 people that are actively looking to get booked on shows. And so you can invite them immediately without waiting. It's categorized. There's a search box. So you can look for what you're looking for, look at all their information, look at how they say they'll promote your show when they're on it. Basically, it's an online one sheet, as we call it. And so it takes all of that risk and effort out of finding guests for your show. It makes it very simple and no rejection. You shouldn't be nervous about reaching out to someone, because these are all people who have raised their hand and said, I want to be a guest on podcasts, right?
Yeah, 100%. Love it. Yeah, thank you for jumping into that. And I want to find out just a few benefits and values of being a guest on other people's show. I know that when we launched this episode, I mentioned it's one of the best ways to kind of grow your brand. But what is it about getting on other people's shows that actually does grow our brand?
Right. Well, so as a podcaster, you're always trying to get more listeners, and you figure, I don't know what the latest stats are, but only a certain segment of the population listens to podcasts at all. And so if you're advertising on Google or Facebook to promote your show, a lot of the people you're reaching don't listen to podcasts, and you can dial that in. But let's take most of us, if we're just boosting, say, a post or something on Facebook, a lot of the people that get that aren't podcast listeners. So one of the nice things about being a guest on other podcasts is you're getting exposure to people that by definition listen to podcasts, right? And so they're definitely potential listeners for your show. And the way I look at this is, if you go on and add value to that person's show and the audience learns something, those people are likely to check out your podcast. You can mention your podcast in it. The host might mention your podcast. And these people are also, they're already in their podcast app, right? They're listening to a podcast, so they can just go over, search for your show and subscribe to it or download a couple of episodes. So I think it's extremely powerful as a mechanism for growing your show to be a guest on other podcasts. And of course, a lot of people that are on podcasts don't have a show of their own, but it's a way to get the word out. I always look at it. Pat Flynn, who's a well-known podcaster, says, picture yourself in front of an auditorium of however many listeners the show has and on stage, right? And that's a great opportunity. People love getting those opportunities to talk on stage with an audience. And that's effectively what you're doing when you're a guest on podcasts.
That's a really good way to think of it, is like, I know that some people are like, oh man, I only have 100 listeners. 50% of the podcasts approximately have about 100 or less. And when we look at what that does, because people are like disappointed, but you're in front of a conference of 100 people every time you have an episode, every time you have an episode. So that quote from Pat Flynn was really interesting. There's like a chicken and egg type thing trying to think of here with guesting on podcasts, because guesting on podcasts helps you grow your brand. Helping you grow your brand does this, which leads to that. However, there's probably some negative things that can happen by going on maybe a podcast too soon. For example, if you don't have a lead magnet, like ultimately you want to have a lead magnet, it's going to convert people, right? So that's your goal, but you're more like ready, fire, aim, and just getting on these other shows, but without being prepared. Right. So maybe could you talk to us about what types of things we might want to consider or think about to prepare before being a guest on somebody else's podcast?
That's a great question. And I do encourage people to, you can overthink this. And I think that even if you go on a show and maybe you haven't lined everything up, you're getting experience, right? And you're getting better at being a guest. So I do encourage people to, certainly you want to do some preparation, which I'll mention here, but you do have to dip your toe in and give it a shot, right? And you will learn, you will get better as you're a guest over time. So one of the first things you should do when you want to get booked on podcasts is create what we call a one sheet. And it's effectively a one page pitch for yourself. I think this comes out of the entertainment industry, but usually there's a photo of you, there's information, maybe your background, depending on what you do. Let's say you're an engineer or in software, it might have some of the certifications you have, your education. And basically, it's a pitch to the podcaster that tells them, hey, here's what this person can talk about on the show, and here's why they're qualified, why you'd want to have them on your show. So you definitely want to create that first. A lot of people create them as a PDF, which is fine. If you do one of the paid memberships at podcastguests.com, you get an online, mobile-friendly one sheet. But that's kind of one of the first things to do, and that'll also help you prepare for being a guest on shows, because you have to think through it, right? You have to think about what makes you interesting and some of the topics that you can discuss. The next thing you want to do is get a decent microphone. I know a lot of people, when they start being a guest on shows, they talking into their laptop or laptop mic, their internal mic, and that can be really frustrating as a podcaster. And I know some podcasters won't air the show if the audio quality isn't very good. Sometimes a podcaster will syndicate it to radio, and I've had some tell me, I aired this podcast, but the radio syndication wouldn't take it because the sound quality wasn't good. And you don't have to spend a lot of money on this. You really just want to get a decent dynamic microphone. Some people use the Snowball ones. To get started, it's $30, $50, but a lot of theirs are, they're not ideal from a dynamic versus condenser. But again, under $100 to get a decent external mic. Even if you have a headset with a microphone on it, it's much better than talking into your laptop. So that's another thing I do. And then there's preparation before you go on the show, right? And having your talking points together, kind of anticipating some of the questions you'll get and being prepared to answer those questions. And so, and again, that's something that you get better with over time. You might prepare a lot for the first shows you go on, and then you're like, oh yeah, I've got this. They ask similar questions. I know the answers to these shows, so I'm ready to get on it. But key things I would say, getting that one sheet set up, getting a decent microphone, doesn't have to be a $300 microphone, but something to get you started. And then just doing some prep, being ready for the questions that that person's going to throw at you.
I really like that. One additional thought that I always have about prior to getting on somebody's show, you want to make sure that you have those things that you mentioned, like your one sheet, decent dynamic mic. So if you're listening and you don't know what dynamic is, just make sure that whenever you're looking for your mic, search for that. It'll help to make sure that the sounds that come through the microphone are going to be only the sounds that you really want, instead of like all of the room noise and traffic noise and breathing and people walking by and the echoes from the mic. For example, a Blue Yeti, which for some reason a lot of people go to it because they do really good at marketing. It's a condenser mic and it brings in all of those other things. There's way better deals on like a $20, $40, $60, $69, $99, excellent dynamic mic that you can get. It'll sound a lot better. And then you mentioned, Andrew, the talking points, the preparation. Another thing that should be thought of before getting on other people's podcasts is that most of the time, on average, we're going to be able to get on somebody's podcast again for a second time if we ever wanted to. in 1 to 3 years. And so like, if we miss that opportunity and we're really wanting to promote something, it could be a challenge if you don't have all of those things together that you really want to discuss and talk about. Just knowing, look, you might miss an opportunity. I had JLD on the podcast today, and he was mentioning that he gets like 400 people asking to be on his show every single wow. month, but he only does 20 interviews a month. And with that said, if you're going to get on his show, he has just too many, right? So you won't be able to get back on there. And that's the same even with less popular shows as well. So what do you need to prepare as a guest? The one sheet, a microphone, an external mic, and talking points. I have so many other additional questions that I want to ask for you. One of them is how to actually pitch a podcaster. And the reason why I want to ask you that is because a lot of times I'll get pitched, like for my show, and other podcasters will get pitched. And some of those pitches immediately turn us off. Mm. And others make us say, oh, yeah, that sounds like a great opportunity for me to have this person on my show. So do you have any helpful tips for when we're actually trying to get on those shows, what to say or what not to say?
Yes, I do have a couple, and then I'm curious what kinds of things to turn you off that you get. So one of them is to focus on what you can do for the podcaster and their audience. Less than some people are all about me, what will it do for me being on your show? I was at By Southwest many years ago and chatting with a friend who's a podcaster, and he's like, I get all these pitches and it's all about what it'll do for me being a guest on your podcast. And none of them say what they can do for me as a podcaster. I want to know how they're going to promote my show. And so one thing you can do is also include in your pitch, here's what I will do to promote my appearance after I'm on it. And in fact, I thought it was such a great idea. I added it to my one sheets that people set up with podcastguests.com. It's okay, what will you do to promote the show after you're on it? And so a lot of times I think as a podcaster, if you get a pitch that seems more like a salesy type thing, like the person's going to come on and show their 10-step process to this or that, that can be a turnoff. And showing the person, giving them some examples of shows that you've been on, so that if they want, they can click through, listen to it, say, okay, yes, this person was coherent. They were prepared, those sorts of things. That can be a big help as well. I tell people to, well, this isn't necessarily in your pitch, but in a one sheet to also give some suggested questions, not that the person will necessarily use those specific questions, but it makes it easier for the podcaster. So when you pitch, if you're in PR and you pitch a journalist, one of the things they say is make it as easy as possible for the journalist as you can, because they're busy. They're trying to get stories out the door, right? They don't want to have to do a lot of research. The easier you can make it for that podcaster, just like you would do for a journalist to interview you, the more likely they are to have you on their show. One other thing I would say, and I see this on podcastguests.com, sometimes people will pitch a lot of shows and it's a very generic pitch. Instead, write a customized pitch for that specific show. And sometimes I'll get these and it's like, you could tell it's a generic thing. I love your show. And then it's like this merge tag, right? And they get the name of it wrong.
And it's always in bold. Like, right. It's always exactly. In a total different font. Yeah.
Right.
That's funny.
So those are some of the things. So how about you, Adam? What are some of the things that you like and don't like?
Well, you mentioned a couple of really good ones, like focusing on what you could do for that podcaster. You're going to be on their show. How can you help them? And that tip that you mentioned, like how I'm going to promote this once it's over, I'm going to share it with my audience of this size, right? Something like that, I think could really make me say, all right, I don't even know like what I'm going to get yet, but they said they're going to put it in front of 1200 people and I might get one or two listeners from that. So we may as well have them on. That's already a benefit to me. So I like that a lot. Another one that you mentioned was to give them examples of other shows that you've been on. So for example, you say, all right, I've been on XYZ podcast. That way they can actually listen to it and get a feel for if they're going to work with you. And I've actually done that myself. When somebody has sent that, it's allowed me to be able to answer the question better. For example, like there have been times where I've listened to it and I said, I don't really think this is going to be a fit, but at least I knew. And there has been other times where I've listened to it and said, yeah, I'd love to have this person as a guest on my show. So giving those examples really does seem to be one that would help, has actually had an effect on me. Another one that you mentioned was suggested questions, just like saying, you ask me about how to raise money for real estate or ask me XYZ. And then I think that can really help. And I'm seeing how it could help me, Andrew, what you mentioned is thinking, I want to support more podcasters in my business. And maybe one of those questions, a suggested question, could be one that even the podcaster is asking, like, how do I 10X my listenership or like that? And so that could be a really good one where the person who owns the podcast, runs the podcast, is like, well, I personally want to know that.
Exactly.
I don't have, so I need to have this person, and I'll be able to kill two birds with one stone. I'll learn it all, and my listener will gain that as well. So I really liked the suggested questions. The generic versus customized is the main one that really turns me off. Hey, listen to this. The problem is that you can tell that it's a bunch of copy and paste. It's a bunch of fill in the blank. It's like they don't actually care about the podcast. And it goes back to your first point as well. They're talking more about them. Like, I do this, I do this, I help with this. And I'm like, I don't want to know what you help with. How can you support my listener?
Right.
That's another thing that I care about. What am I going to gain when you come on? What is my listener going to gain? What's my listener going to learn? Not just that you have a coaching program and you want to sell more clients and you're hoping to get in front of my base.
Right.
So there's a lot there. Yeah, go ahead.
Just to be clear, I mean, if you do listen to this podcast and you are a fan, by all means, mention that in your pitch. But I would be more specific, like, hey, I've been listening for this long. I really liked your episode this, and actually describe what the episode was, or maybe something that an answer or some conversation that happened on that podcast that really interested you. I do this sometimes when I ask people to be a guest on my show. There was someone who I really wanted, but I knew he was busy. And I said, hey, I heard your recent appearance on this podcast, and something you said here was really interesting. I'd like to have you on my show. And then here I did the reverse. And give you the opportunity to expose your new company to my audience of X, right? So just thinking about trying to be a little bit selfless. What can I do for the other person rather than the other way around, I think is a good way to do these.
That selfless piece really sings to me. It's in all of your pitches, whether you're asking someone to come on your show or whether you're asking to like be on their show or have them asking you to be on yours. It's all about like, what's in it for me? What is in it for that end user, the person that you're speaking with? You're always giving it to them in terms of, I want to put you in front of my people. A lot of people are missing this. I can answer that question on the podcast. It's all about not looking in like, how much money can I make? How much influence can I get in front of? I want to be in front, and just reversing our thinking to be like, how can I support you to get to the next level and entice you to make this decision that's mutually beneficial? I really like that. Yeah, to answer your question though, Andrew, the main ones that turn me off are the ones that I can tell are just generic, copy and paste, or because they have a coaching program and they want to make all this money. And the only way that they can do that is by getting on a whole bunch of podcasts. And so I'm just a number. That's when it turns me off the most. Let me think. What else do I have while I have you, Andrew? What else should I ask you?
Let's see
here. How to
leverage
your podcast guest experience is a good one. Thinking about like, we're going to be on that show. What do we do to maximize that impact?
Right. And so you mentioned earlier having a lead magnet or something you can drive people back to. And that really depends on what your goal is, right? So I think about what your goal is being a guest on this other show. So maybe it's to grow your own podcast audience. In that case, your goal is just to educate, 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 and mention your podcast, right? And you might be able to do that ahead of time with the podcaster, say, hey, it'd be great if we can close with talking about, hey, here's my podcast, what it's about, that sort of thing. And a lot of times I'll open with that. Like I'm interviewing someone Friday. My podcast is about domain name industry, domain name business. And so I'll mention, hey, he has this podcast. You can go check it out on whatever your podcast app is, that sort of thing. So coming in with what you want to get across and preparing it is, it's very important. I think, again, I don't want to discourage people from being on podcasts because they're nervous, because you will get better. And it's a much simpler way to dip your toe in than, say, doing live speaking or being on live television, that sort of thing. But you do want to show up prepared. And you want to show up, in addition to having your good microphone, you want to make sure you have a quiet environment. I know as a podcaster, you have people calling in from the airport, right? Or something like that. And it's just, it does not work. So preparation is key. And I always tell people, when you're done recording, that's not the end of your duty as a guest. And that gets back to, how are you going to help promote the show? And that's not just a benefit to the podcaster promoting that show that you're on. That's a benefit to you too, right? Because you're promoting your appearance on there. People will go listen to it. They'll hear your story. If they don't know you very well, maybe they'll start following you on social media. So there's a lot of work to do after you appear on that show. So after this is published, I'll include a link to it in my podcastguests.com newsletter, right? And that not only helps you out, Adam, right? It gets people that are interested in podcasting to find out about you, and maybe they'll come listen to the show and subscribe, check out growyourshow.com. But it also helps me, because people will go and they'll check it out to learn more about me. They'll learn more about podcastguests.com, even though they're already a subscriber, but how they can use it, that sort of thing. So these things are mutually beneficial, but it's not over as soon as you're done recording. You need to do that extra work to help promote that show. And if you've done a good job preparing for that show and being a guest on that show, and if you follow through with that promotion, there's a better chance that you're going to get A, invited back on that show. It might be 1 to 3 years, like you mentioned. But B, if someone's listening who also has their own podcast, they're much more likely to invite you onto their show, right? So there's kind of this network effect from being a good guest on podcasts, where other people hear that and they want to have you on their show as well. I was on a Side Hustle show, which is a pretty popular show. And after I was on it, I got all these invitations to be on other similar shows. And at least I'd like to think it's because I did a pretty good job on the show, right? I mean, they're not just inviting everyone, but there is an effect there where more exposure begets more exposure begets more exposure.
You gave a lot of tips, and I actually typed in your name on Apple, like a few minutes ago, and that Side Hustle episode is one of the first things that comes up. Okay, Andrew, what is like a really good way for the listener who wants to be a guest on other people's podcasts? What's a simple, easy way for them to be able to jump on all these other podcasts and get booked?
Sure. I get lots of questions from people that say, hey, how can I get started, right? Where do I dip my toe in? And so I put together a guide that kind of walks you through the steps and everything you need to know. You can get that. It's free. It's at podcastguests.com/guide. You don't even have to provide your email address or anything like that. You can just go in. It's a brief, succinct overview that teaches you step-by-step what you need to do to get on the shows.
Awesome. And so I know I've seen that guide, and a couple of the topics that we talked about today are on there. And there's also the other couple steps that you're going to need to be able to really do it.
Right.
So, and you said it's totally free. They can get it by just going to podcastguests.com/guide.
That's right.
Okay. I'm going to make sure that's in the show notes. And so they can just scroll down and click. I also wanted to talk about your very first experience podcasting. I think you said you started around 6-7 years ago. And I want to talk a little bit about like who you serve, how you serve them, why you decided to have a podcast as part of that. I know this is like a multi question, but it's more of like an idea of your journey for podcasting, if you don't mind sharing.
Sure. So I have what's basically an online trade publication for the domain name industry called Domain Name Wire. And so the people that read this are domain registrars like GoDaddy, all the companies in that ecosystem, in that business. Most people just think of domain names as, hey, I need one for my business. These are the people that live it and breathe it every day. And so let's see, I'm up to episode 335. It's a weekly. So it's been over 6 years since I started this podcast. And basically, I was looking around the ecosystem, the media ecosystem, and I've been blogging for a long time. I had this online publication, and I thought I wanted to have more in-depth conversations with people, and podcasting was a perfect medium for that. So I started a podcast, didn't know what I was doing, but researched as much as I could to get started. And it's a niche, right? You get back to the size of a typical podcast. And this one has grown nicely, but it's taken a while. Like, it's about 1,500 downloads per episode now, which, if you think about people that'd be interested in the topic, I think covers a good majority of them that would actually listen to a podcast. But I get a lot of value out of being a podcaster beyond just those people that listen. And one thing I tell podcasters is, like, some of the guests I've had on my show, if I were to just reach out to them and say, hey, I'd like to talk to you for a half hour to learn about something, learn about your expertise, they'd probably say no. But if I say, hey, I'd love to have you on my show so you can talk to my audience, then they get interested. And you can have some pretty interesting guests, even in a niche like mine. One of my guests was David Ellison, who is a bassist for Megadeth. And he had a story. They had one of the first websites for a band anywhere. So he came on and talked about it. I've had Matt Mullenweg, who's the founder, creator of WordPress, on there as well. So these are people that I couldn't have just reached out to and said, hey, I want to chat for a bit. But when I said, hey, I'd love to have you on my podcast so you can tell your story, or in Matt's case, promote his brand, that sort of thing, then that is interesting to them. So it's been fun, and it's been rewarding in ways other than just advertising revenue, which I think a lot of people start a podcast thinking they're going to be the next Joe Rogan and make a lot of money from advertising. And I don't think that's a good reason necessarily to start a podcast.
I got another thought and a question here. It's just coming up because of a lot of podcaster or potential future podcasters, people that want to do it, but they're kind of getting held back because there are quite a bit of podcasts today. Mm. And I just think about you starting yours over 6 years ago, almost 7 years. And back then, who knows how many podcasts there were? I don't know, 100,000? I don't know the right number. But then in October of like 2020 or 2019, there was maybe 800,000 podcasts. And people are already thinking, man, I don't know if I need all that competition. And then after the pandemic, and we're in the middle of 2021, there's over 2.2 million podcasts. And it's just grown so much so fast. Do you think for a listener, if they're wanting to start a podcast, do you think that it's a good idea right now, or is there just too much competition?
I do think it's a good idea right now. And I think back to other things like blogs. When I started my blog, my online publication in 2005, there weren't a whole lot. In retrospect, there weren't a whole lot. But at the time, it was like, oh, this market's flooded. I mean, who could start a blog now and make a name for themselves? And I, as someone in the domain name industry, I think back and chuckle back to, I guess, about 2000, there were 10 million .com names registered. And everyone said, oh, all the good names are taken. Now there are over 150 million .com domains registered. So clearly, not all of the good names were taken if people found 140 million more that over the next two decades that they thought were worth registering. So I think we're still kind of early days on this. And again, I would encourage people to go into it with the right mindset and for the right goals. If their goal is to build this massive audience and sell ads against it, I don't think that should be your primary goal. Some of the benefits you mentioned, of course, this opportunity to talk to people that you otherwise wouldn't be able to talk to. If you offer a product or a service related to the topic of your podcast, which a lot of people do, it's an opportunity to build your credibility, show your knowledge about the subject, and potentially get new clients over time or new customers over time. In fact, that's probably one of the more popular reasons that people start podcasts now, right? Is to showcase their brand in a subtle way. No one's going to listen if it's just about your product or service, but bringing on like-minded guests and people that can educate an audience about the topic, I think those are excellent reasons to start a podcast and to start one today.
I'm with you 100% on that. And I didn't know what you would say. I thought, you never know. I'm glad we agree.
Right.
Now is a great time to start a podcast. So, A, if you are interested in more domain name things, Andrew's got an awesome podcast. Just search for it. Type in domain name wire podcast. So then jump on over there and feel free, if after listening to an episode or two, just give them an honest written rating and a review. Let them know what you think about the podcast. Additionally, if you're looking to be a guest on a show, couple quick resources. A, podcastguests.com/guide gives you the 5 steps to being able to be a better podcast guest. So if that's what you're looking to do and grow your brand that way, I think you just need to grab that free resource as well. I'm personally a user. I'm registered in your system, Andrew. I don't know if you remembered or recalled that, but for the listener who's also going to be a podcaster, I've played around with the website and it's really cool what you can do. And I think it'll really help you to be able to get to that next level. And there's also, it's a free level as well. Most people on there, they just use the free level. Yeah. So just jump over to podcastguests.com to just be part of this. Get your online, I called it a lead magnet, but I think one sheet. Get your online one sheet going, connect with guests, be part of the newsletter. And so you can be a guest or also find better guests for your show. So those are some really good resources for you. Podcastguest.com or podcastguest.com/guide. Those will both be in the show notes as well. So you can just scroll down right now. Andrew, thank you for jumping on. Thank you for spending so much time with me. I can't believe we spent so much time on this episode. It's one of our longer episodes, but got a lot of value myself. And I hope that the listener did too. So I'm going to let you go. Until next time, grow your podcast, grow your influence, and grow your income. I'm Adam, and we're out. This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.